Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's read together now, please. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this wonderful verse. And God, we are excited and look forward as Pastor comes and preaches to us about this verse. God, use him this morning, anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for this task. We're needy people this morning, Father, and we need to hear from heaven. That's why we're here. So God, bless us, please, this morning in this auditorium. Help us to be what we should be. And Father, as it's already been prayed, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ this morning as their Savior, that they would trust him today before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, please make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate so it will not go off during the service. Now, listen, this is a health warning. If your cell phone goes off during the service and we hear it, your heart will stop beating. And we'll not start again until you turn that stupid thing off, okay? So help us today. We would appreciate that very much. And you may not get started again, you know, so I don't want any more, you know, you're heading in this once here this morning, so let's be careful, all right? Just watch out today. Listen very carefully, please. These last few Sundays, we've been taking a look at, well, first of all, we looked at our time. Then we looked at our life. And today, we're going to take a look at our heart. Proverbs 4:23, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Do you realize the Bible, 765 times the Bible refers to the heart. And only a few of those times, probably not even five of them, refer to the actual blood-pumping organ in your chest. All the rest of those times when the Bible talks about your heart, it's not talking about your physical heart. It's talking about what is the seat of your emotions, your thoughts, your mind. Let me put it to you this way. When the Bible talks about your heart, it's talking about the real you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, the Bible says. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, the Bible says. But the heart, your heart, when the Bible talks about your heart, keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. It's talking about who the real you. The Bible says in 1 Samuel, it says, man looketh on the outward appearance, whereas God looketh on the heart. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be careful this morning and realize something about our heart. The real you, the real me. From Proverbs 4:23, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, the real you, your heart, out of it are the issues of life. And here's what that means. It means according to what the Bible says, it means that the direction and the condition of your life is determined by the condition of your heart. Just like your physical. That's why the Bible uses, it's an analogy actually, when it refers to the heart in the Bible, and we understand how vital your heart is to your life. It has to pump the blood. Life of the flesh is in the blood. Your physical heart has to work correctly for your health to be right. I don't care how much they work on you and do what they do and everything else. If there's something wrong with your heart, you're going to have problems with your health. It is going to affect you in every area of your life. Your spiritual heart, if we want to call it that, the heart the Bible speaks of, that's the real you, the seat of your emotions, your thinking, your mind, your thoughts, the real Mike Johnson. The condition of that heart determines the direction and condition of your life. For out of it are the issues of life. Issue in the Bible refers to directions, boundaries, limitations. Hey, where you're going with your life is determined by the condition of your heart. So, no, Pastor Johnson, you don't understand. I want to do the right thing, but you see, no. If the heart wants to do right and the heart is intending to do the right thing, your life's going to follow that. Now look at me, and that means if my life isn't, the condition and the direction of my life is determined by the condition of my heart, and that's why it says, to keep your heart with all diligence. To keep it means to guard it, to protect it, to watch over it, to like you would on a defense, like a soldier does today in defending our freedoms. They walk the wall for the liberties and freedoms that you and I enjoy in this country because they're on guard, on duty 24/7 for their entire time that they serve their country, and they are keeping the freedoms and liberties of this nation. Your heart is, ladies and gentlemen, you need to be like a soldier on guard, on duty, protecting your heart. The Bible says diligently. That means never failing. Slipping for a moment, allowing something, just stepping back for a moment, you allow the condition of your heart to be affected and the real you, and guess what happens? The issue of life is determined by the condition of your heart. Where you're going, the condition of that life, the direction of that life is determined by the condition of your heart. Understand this also about the heart as the Bible speaks of it. It can deceive you. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That is a real popular philosophy that's been going around for some time now, that you just need to trust your heart. Just trust your heart. After all, everything will just be fine. When the Bible says your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? Come on, folks, look at me. Every one of us have been self-deceived in our lives. Would you agree? You're sitting there. It's 10 o'clock at night. You should probably get ready to go to bed. For some of our folks, they've been in bed for hours by then. But for some of us, we're a little late owl types. 10 o'clock at night. What happens at 10 o'clock at night? All of a sudden, that piece of pie that's sitting in that refrigerator starts calling your name. It even texts you. And it says, what if Jesus comes while you're asleep tonight? Now your mother-in-law is going to get to eat that piece of pie. Not any mother-in-laws in here. Let's say that very carefully and very quickly too, by the way. And what does your mind say? Come on. What's the deal? It's just one little piece of pie. Think how well you'll sleep tonight. Then you get to thinking, what happens if in the middle of the night I'm not able to eat anymore? I wake up in the morning and that pie goes to waste, and my mom always taught me not to waste food. And before you know it, you're standing there with a fork in your hand and a pie pan in the other one. You don't even put it on a plate. You're not even going to waste time with that. You're just going to eat it right out of the pie pan. Yes? Because it tastes better that way anyway. I mean, why dirty dishes? You know, you got to wash the pie pan, but you don't have to dirty it. Just eat it right out of the pie pan. Dump a couple scoops of ice cream on that, some whipped cream. I mean, let's just do this right now. Look, if I'm going to eat the pie, I might as well eat it right. And there you are. A couple weeks of that, and there's no hope, and you know there's no hope. You've talked yourself into things. Now, don't do this, but you ever done it? You're driving down the road in the middle of the night. You're tired. You got a long drive. You're on one of those long stretches of highway that's very straight, and you think to yourself, if I lock my elbows and hold this steering wheel like this, I can get a little nap without pulling over and save some time. The other day in the newspaper, a man got up while driving a motor home, went back to the kitchen and made a sandwich, then went to the bathroom, and that's where they found him, wrapped around a cactus out there in the Southwest desert somewhere, in the bathroom in a motor home that wrecked. Now, come on, tell me your heart can't deceive you. Huh? Folks, you say, but Pastor Johnson, I mean, come on, I understand all this kind of stuff and how important it is to watch the condition of your heart because all those, but my heart is fine. I'm certain of that. No, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If the next verse, and if you look it up in Jeremiah 17 to verse 9, is that verse 10, you'll see it says God knows the heart. But the point is this, we can't trust our heart to give us, and we can't say, well, I can look it over and make sure everything's all right. No, you can't. No, you can't. Now, if we're going to examine our heart this morning, we're going to take a look at this. There are just certain things we need to do. And ladies and gentlemen, hear me this morning. The direction of your life is going to be determined by the condition of your heart. It is determined by the condition of your heart. And we need to make sure this thing is right. So much of the Bible, so much in the Bible, as I said, 765 times the heart is referred to in the Bible. And it describes the heart in so many different ways. A hardened heart, a bitter heart, a soft heart, a stony heart, a stubborn heart. All these different things, a fleshly heart, a heart that has a love for God. Let's do this concerning our heart this morning. Number one, you need to have it examined regularly. You mean go to the doctor, Pastor Johnson. Well, okay. But I'm talking about your spiritual condition today. Psalm 139, would you turn over there with me? Hold your place in Proverbs 4. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 has become a regular prayer in my life. I'm not big on quoted prayers or written prayers. But this one I use every day. Psalm 139, please. Since my heart will deceive me into saying, hey, don't worry about it. Everything is okay. When it's not, then I need to make sure I get my heart examined regularly. I recommend a daily examination of the heart. Now, I don't mean call the doctor and go see him every day and have him check you. I mean you need to make sure your heart is right every day and that somebody, someone, and it's God, of course, checks the condition of our hearts. Psalm 139, verse 23. We're going to jump right back to Proverbs 4, so hold your place there, please. Psalm 139, verse 23, the Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Look here, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You know something? Hey, look at me this morning. Do you realize something today? If I do what I'm supposed to do, every day of my life I put myself before the Lord and I say, now God, I need you to look at my heart today. I need to get a medical report from my Heavenly Father. And I need you to look at my heart and let me know, is everything all right? See, but Pastor Johnson, I mean, what's the benefit of that? Well, question, what's the benefit when we've had it happen several times in our church. Well, somebody will have, you know, they'll be having chest pains, numbness in the arm, restriction in the jaw, all sorts of things going on for months. And then all of a sudden they have a major heart attack, wind up in the hospital. The doctor says, well, how long have you been having these symptoms? Oh, 6 months or a year or so, something like that. And they'll always say, why did you wait that long? You should have done something sooner. No, we wait, look at me, we wait until the bottom falls out of relationships, life, everything's messed up, and then we say, boy, something's not right. And then we start, look at me, we start dealing with the horizontal things of life. We think you're having problems in your marriage, the problem is your spouse. No, the problem is the condition of your heart. You're having problems in your home, the problem is the children. No, the problem is the condition of your heart. I'm having struggles in my life, Pastor Johnson. I'm struggling with this and that and this and that. And I've been so discouraged lately and depressed and down. And I need to change some things in my life. No, you're dealing with the horizontal things instead of dealing with the internal issue of the condition of our heart. We need to ask God to take a look here. Listen, life can be a mess all around you, but if the heart is fine, everything works. Because remember, out of it, the heart are the issues of life. Not, look here, not external to internal, internal to external. And since I can't know the condition of my heart because it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, I have to ask God to search me out. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked women. Every prayer time I have in my life throughout my day, every one of them begins with this. Long before I ask, long before I seek, long before I bring anything before God, I want to know, is my heart right? We live in an angry society today, frustrated society today, hostile society today. Say, well, I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is the way they do this and there, and the way the government is, and the way this is and that is. No, 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 no. Out of it, the heart are the issues of life, not the White House. Out of the heart are the issues of life, not the governor's mansion. Out of the heart are the issues of life, not your workplace, not the people around you. It's the condition of my heart, and if it's not right, life will never be right. Oh, so if I get my heart straightened out, then everything's okay after that. Everything's okay here. See, folks, look at me. Nobody takes your peace away from you. You give it up. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The world provides a peace today. It's very temporary. A little salve on something, you know, you take a bike ride, a nice walk, you go down by the river trail, a little peaceful something or other. You have a delicious meal, a little peaceful something or other. You sit on the back porch and listen to the birds sing, a little peaceful something or other. The world provides a temporary peace that's about shallow as your skin, my friend, and really isn't very lasting. The world gives a peace, but Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. And he went on and encouraged his disciples to not have troubled hearts. But it comes from an examination that comes from God. Now listen, so when you ask God to search your heart, would you please do this? Would you take a moment, some time, to let him respond to your request and let him reveal to you what's really going on in your heart? I'm afraid today what's happened is this. Many Christians, I believe, have gotten to the place where they're willing to ask God these kind of questions, but they're not willing to accept his answer. Dear Lord, search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And God says, okay, here it is, and here it is. And this is the issue, and here's the problem, and this is the matter. And we go, well, I don't want to deal with that right now. No. It's like going to the doctor. He gives you an examination. He sits down. He says, now let me explain to you what the situation is. You go, hey, just a minute, doc. I didn't come here for you to tell me how I feel. I didn't come here to get a report from you. I just wanted you to look me over. That's all. And get up and walk out of the office. Well, what was the point then? No, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Father, I want to be right with you today. If you're not, he'll step right up and let you know what the issues are. And if it's been a while since you've done that, I highly recommend you get your 8.5 by 11 pad of paper and a long writing ink pen and sit down and start scratching things out and let God deal with you about these issues, because it's an issue of the heart. Yeah, I get frustrated in life too. There's times when I get aggravated, I get worried, sometimes when I get mad. There's times when I wake up in the morning and I think, dear Lord, if you don't get all over me today with the grace of God, I'm going to kick somebody before this day is over. You've got to help me out. Has that ever happened to you? You're just walking down the aisle of the grocery store, some poor soul's bent over to pick up a sack of beans. You want to kick them where it counts. I mean, it's just like that. They didn't even do anything. Now, maybe you're not like that, but some days I wake up like that. So I don't go to the grocery store first thing. But truth is, you have to be willing and prepared for God to deal with. See, we think God's going to bring some things to mind about what this person's problem is and what that person's problem is and how this came about in life. And God says, no, it's an issue of sin. It's an issue of this. It's an issue of that. It's an issue of an unyieldedness in this area of your life. And that, look at me, that has kept our heart from being right with the God who made us. So that's why you ask him. I just want to make sure my heart is right. That's all. The only way to know that is to ask the God who made me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and then wait for the answer. And then do something about it. It's very simple. If you're here this morning, you're a child of God. My friend, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. And his job is to help us, encourage us, strengthen us. One of the names for the Holy Spirit in the Bible is called a comforter. It means paraclete. It means one who comes along beside us. Go home and read John 14, 15, and 16 and see the great ministry of the person of the Holy Spirit. And the comfort, the strength, the conviction, the correction, all of it. He'll step right up and let you know what the issue really is. And friend, look here. Don't you understand, if it has to be right in my life, for everybody around me to be right, or at least just leave me alone. If that's how life has to be right for Mike Johnson, it has to be externally right for it to be internally right, I'm in trouble. Because there are some people around you, they're never going to get right. They're never going to treat you the way you're supposed to be treated. There'll always be someone who's going to say something, do something, act in some way that you don't want. And if they have to be right for you to be right, then you're in serious trouble. But if my heart is right and no matter what goes on around me, I'm okay, then God has given you the only safe guarantee of a good life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's have a heart examined regularly. Number two, realize the condition of my heart determines the quality of my life. You said direction. No, this, I'm talking a different issue now. The quality of my life. Isn't it fascinating that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness and faith and temperance and all these great things in people's lives that we really would really like to have? It all comes from a heart that's right with the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, He produces a product, and that product is love and joy and peace. The quality of my life is determined by the condition of my heart also. And if I go to my God and I say, Father, please search me out on this thing. Am I all right here? Is there something wrong? I know. Mike Johnson knows when my temper gets short and I get aggravated, I get negative and down in the mouth and the mully grubs. I know what it is. I know what it is. Fox News. That's what it is. CNN. HIV, BVD, and the ABC. And all the rest of them people. No, it's not. I know what it is. I got to get along with God. I got to get with God on this thing. Lord, what's the matter? What's wrong? Is there something in my life? Proverbs 4:23 again says that if my life is right, then it's because my heart is right. Out of it are the issues of life, not what goes on around me. It's not how I have let the it's not that the circumstances of life around me are not good. Listen, it's because I have allowed the circumstances of life to affect the condition of my heart. You can get just as mad as this world is today. You can get just as aggravated and just as mean. But that's because we let what's going on in the world get to the heart matter. You know, Proverbs 14:10, the Bible says the heart knoweth his own bitterness. We know if there's a bitterness issue in here. I lived a bitter life for a good portion of my youth. Used to fight at the drop of the hat and drop my hat every chance I got. Yeah, bitter. Mad at the world because people had disappointed me and failed me in my life. Somewhere along the way, I got my heart right with the Lord, took care of that issue. But it didn't stay that way. Then after being in the ministry for a while, I got around some preachers and different people, and I found a couple of preachers, not all of them. I found a couple of preachers were just as phony as a $3 bill. Said some things they shouldn't say, did some things they should not do. And boy, the old bitterness came back so quick, it wasn't even funny. My daddy was a Baptist preacher, ran off with one of the women in the church, and the Baptist group he was in put him out of the ministry, wouldn't let him preach anymore, pastor, which is biblically correct. Then I got around some of these preachers later on. I'm in the ministry, and they're passing around their immoral staff members, and they're passing around these kind of things. And man, that got to me. Whew. I thought, hey, now. By the way, I'm talking one or two preachers out of thousands of preachers. Most men handle it the way they're supposed to. But see, because that affected me personally. And they were right. They were right to do what they did with my dad. That's biblical. When I saw these guys do that, I thought, oh man, that's not right. And I confronted some of them about it, and I said, that's not right, and you know that's not right. And they wouldn't respond to it. And boy, I got bitter. We lived in Cottonwood at the time. We had, I don't know how many hundreds of acres of just open rolling hills and oak trees out behind our house at that time. You know what I did? Boy, I walked those hills. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I said, oh God, please. I can't go back to the old bitter Mike Johnson I used to be. I can't do it. I can't function like that. Bitterness is the only chemical that destroys its own container. And God, I can't do that. And my heart knew its own bitterness. Yeah. I'm not a tree hugger, but I was for a while. I used to get on my knees and grab those oak trees out there and say, please, God, please. Please don't let me become bitter again. I can't live like that. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a pastor of a church. It'll taint everything about it. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that the root of bitterness, thereby springing up, defiles many. It'll taint every relationship in life. You say, that's because those people are not right. No, it's because I allow bitterness in my heart. So how did you resolve it, Pastor Johnson? The only way you can ever resolve bitterness, in the book of Ephesians, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgiveness is the answer. It's always the answer. And those people never apologized for anything they ever did to me in my life. But it didn't matter. I decided by the grace of God to forgive them in advance. And guess what? Guess what? The heart is right this morning. We allow our heart to become bitter by the things done to us. And then it creates a bitterness in our life. And we've got every reason to be bitter except a good one. We must keep our heart with all diligence. Protect it by the grace of God and with His help. Guard it from carnal and wicked influences. Look at me. You cannot. It is not possible to let the things of this world and all its fleshliness into your heart and not expect to have carnal fleshly problems in your life. That's why the Bible says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things, the love issue. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I get infatuated with the things of this world. They captivate your heart and it takes it away from God. And guess what it replaces it with? The things of the world. The anger, the bitterness, all the stuff that goes on out there. The selfishness, the greed, all the things of this world. That gets into the heart. You're going to tell me that's not going to create a problem for the child of God? I have to keep my heart. I have to guard it, protect it, walk about it, make sure I do not allow these things. I need to maintain my heart. I need to make sure I commit the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Need to commit some scripture to memory. Need to read the word of God. Get that book in your mind, in your heart, in your life. Guess what that does? It affects the condition of your heart, and that affects the quality of your life. Godly and good music in your life is so important. All these things are the ways to keep my heart, to protect it, to guard it, to maintain it. Because the condition of my heart is going to determine the quality of my life. Concerning your heart, realize this lastly is this. I choose who has my heart. I choose that. Proverbs 23:26, the Bible says, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my way. It's a father's admonition to his child. Our Heavenly Father, I believe, would have the same admonition for us today. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Isn't it interesting how our children and our grandchildren capture our hearts? It's just amazing to me. Just a smile, a moment with them. It's almost a shame they have to become teenagers. But everything is precious. They have your heart. But you gave that to them. Since the issues, not if, since the issues of my life are determined by the heart that I have and the condition of that heart, who I give my heart to will determine so much about where I'm going and what I'm going to become. Example. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you realize, dear friend, we have a lot of people today who claim to be Christians, who frankly, their Christianity never went further from their head, never got from their head to their heart. Let me explain. You see, they're Christians because they believe in Jesus. Because they believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again 3 days later, they believe that makes you a Christian. They're Christians because they believe in Christian principles of morality and decency. They believe the information a person should believe. But the Bible does not say with the mind. Man believeth unto righteousness. It says with the heart. Now look at me. That means there needs to be a transfer from the information about Christ to trusting Christ from the heart for salvation. Now that, my friend, is a step you have to take. That's why you can't get baptized for salvation and you can't join a church for salvation. You have to trust Jesus Christ to save you. And that's a decision of the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Question this morning. Have you made that decision to receive Jesus Christ as Savior from the heart, trusting Him for your salvation? Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." He stands at the heart door of every person on this planet who hears a clear, simple presentation of the plan of salvation, that we're sinners, that Jesus has died for sinners to save us from hell, that he rose from the grave 3 days later, and you must trust that payment alone for your salvation. And when we hear this, he knocks on the heart door for you to receive Christ. "Well, I believe there was Jesus Christ, and I believe." The Bible said the devils believe and tremble. There's more to this thing of salvation than just acknowledging some biblical facts. It is trusting the Savior from the heart and asking Him to save you. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Have you made that decision? From the heart, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You say, "Well, I'm not sure how sincere I was." It didn't say sincerely. It just said from the heart. That means the real you, the need, the trusting of Christ, that simple, important decision. Has that happened? See, until that day comes, you don't have salvation. Then we have facts, but not faith, and faith is how you get saved. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Too many have a head knowledge of Christ, but not a heart knowledge of Christ for salvation. For others who have trusted Christ, now the issue of the heart is our love for Him. Jesus said, when asked what was the greatest commandment of all, Jesus said the greatest commandment of all is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. The second is likened to the first, that you love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, on these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. Now listen, what he was simply saying was this: when you love Him with your heart like you should, all the commandments of the Word of God aren't that big a deal. Sunday morning Christians just have not settled the love issue with God. That's the issue. It's loving Him. Pop in, get a little Sunday morning religion, get up, go home. That's Sunday morning religion stuff. Really loving the Lord? Now you get serious about your Christian life. You realize it's whenever the doors are open, I'm there. Monday morning, I'm walking with God. He's in my life. I take Him to work with me. I go everywhere. Everywhere I go, I take Him with me. You know, I'm not married just when I'm at home. I'm not married just when I'm with my wife. 24/7, 365 days a year. I'm a married man, happily married man, glad to be married. Thank all three happily married men in this room this morning. I said, gentlemen, when are you guys going to figure this thing out? You had a shot, scored some serious points, and you blew it. Three guys are sharp. The rest of you are sitting there going, Your wife was even doing one of these numbers. That's you. Go, 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 go. I said, I'm a happily married man. Go ahead, Brother Evans. But anyway. But I'm not just married at home. I'm not just married with my wife and I go somewhere together. Right? You say, well, yeah, because you said you do and now you did. No. Because I love her. Oh, yeah. I love her. 24/7. 365 days a year. I love her. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, how much it affects your life if we understand that our love for people affects everywhere we go, everything we do, and how we live our lives. So then, do you understand this morning, if my heart is right with my God and I love Him with all my heart like I should, then anything He asks me to do, what is the big deal? Question, what is the big deal anyway? So what's all the stuff about? What's really the issue here? It's an issue of I've stopped loving Him from the heart like I should. See, I choose who I give my heart to. I choose to give my heart to the one who loved me like nobody's ever loved me before. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. You know, He loved me before I knew who He was. How could I not love Him like that in return? Why? When we give our heart to someone or something else, our life and direction follows that. That's why you see seasonal Christians. So the weather's getting nicer now. So folks who got rained out of all the stuff they were going to do. And I was talking to my wife this morning driving to church. I said, okay, I wonder what's going on in town today. You know, is it, it's not Cool April Nights now. It's the hot shot car thing, and then it's the bike race, and then it's the thing, and there'll be something going on every time there's a sunny thing somewhere, somehow, some way. And if it's raining, they'll do it in the mall. There's always something going on. But for the child of God, do what you do, go where you go. I'm going to honor my God by how I live my life and what I do. Because I decided to give him my heart. He gave me his best. How could I give him less than what I have? It's a great verse. Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So then I think what that means is what you give your heart to becomes your treasure. It's not the other way around. What you give your heart to becomes your treasure. I choose who I give my heart to. So do you. They don't steal it from us. We give it away. And we make that choice by saying, "Here, I give you my heart today." Child of God, he loved you like no one has ever loved you. And by the way, if you never give him your heart, he'll still love you. That's amazing when you think. The love of God is incredible. Let's keep our heart with all diligence this morning. For out of it are the issues of my life. Let's stand together, would you please?